Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, A.G. Burnett. He's the chairman of the Nevada Gaming Control Board, a very powerful board. For the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
For seniors like Barbara, Social Security makes a difference every month. But for the Wall Street types who've given Congressman Joe Heck's campaigns over $500,000, Social Security could mean billions of dollars in fees. That's what privatizing Social Security means and why Joe Heck and Wall Street support it. Under Heck's privatization plan, retirement security gets risked on the stock market, and the Wall Street types supporting Joe Heck make billions. Whose side are you on? Senate Majority PAC is responsible for the content of this ad.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are absolutely delighted to welcome for the first time to this program A.G. Burnett. He is the chairman of the Nevada Gaming Control Board. Pleasure to have you on the program.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you, Sam.
Within the last week, we had a program with Joe Bresny on marijuana. And and of course, marijuana is illegal federally, which means that nobody with a gaming license can get involved with that. And you made that abundantly clear.
We did.
But what are your thoughts on the effect of marijuana? Tick Sagebloom, the state senator, believes that it's going to be good for tourism. Mm-hmm. Mary Lau from the Retail Association says that people are going to be sitting in the lounge looking at their gaming device and going, do we go here? Do we go there? Oh, no, let's just get some food. Mm-hmm. What do you think the effect is going to be?
Well, it's hard to comment from a personal standpoint because I think I see both. I see the need for research on the various capabilities that the substance might have for people with cancer, glaucoma, different physical conditions. And I, for one, and I've testified to this effect, would welcome that. So to the extent that it could be rescheduled as a testing substance, that's fine. But right now, it is a Schedule I controlled substance. It's a federal crime. If you go on the website of the White House, for example, I believe right on the front page, it'll be an FAQ for medical marijuana or marijuana in general, where they make abundantly clear, this is a crime, you can be prosecuted for this. I think it's a slippery slope. It's a dangerous slippery slope to go down when you task a regulatory agency such as the Gaming Control Board with following up on federal crimes in one case and not the other. For example, what federal crimes should we enforce if a gaming licensee is forbidden from violating federal law? Tell us which ones are okay to violate or not. In this case, we've said you can't violate any federal law. You can't violate a state law in Mississippi or New Jersey or in Australia or the UK. And we enforce that. In fact, we fined Sheldon Adelson's company $1.5 million recently for federal violations that the feds had come after them on in terms of FinCEN money controls. When you legalize something that is illicit and it's specifically enumerated as a controlled substance, it's difficult when it's still a federal crime. So we're going to enforce the laws along with our federal counterparts until the federal laws change.
All right. So great answer. But let me go back to my question, mm-hmm. which is, what do you think is going to be the effect? I mean, are we going to see people being able to smoke marijuana in a casino? Are they going to be able to smoke marijuana in a day club or a nightclub? Where are you going to have to come down? Or is this going to be end up being a test case where whoever pops up first is the one that you have to go after?
Are you speaking right now in terms of medical only, or if we go recreational?
Either way.
Both. Either way, we're going to enforce the federal law. As long as the federal law stays
the same. So what does that mean? I don't mean to pick on you.
That'll mean you can't do it in a casino.
So you can't light up a joint, but you can be under the influence in a casino because people currently are.
Theoretically.
Yeah. Correct.
Theoretically, that could be the case, but I think you have to remember also, in a casino, our laws require you, the casino operator, to be aware of someone who may be intoxicated and be very, very careful to not allow them to play. It's sort of like the old dram shop laws with alcohol and the bartender serving or over-serving a customer alcohol. In certain cases, in some states, the bartender can be liable. In Nevada, we have gone after casino licensees when they have over-served a visibly intoxicated patron. Same goes for marijuana.
So now, is it limited to hotel rooms allowed? Mm-hmm. Are nightclubs, day clubs allowed?
I think our analysis would be what it has been with day clubs, which in some cases aren't owned by the casino licensee right. themselves. They could be leased out to a third party. We've said anything that goes on within that four walls of the casino, the term of art statutorily is within the establishment. If anything illegal goes on in that establishment, the Gaming Control Board can go after you as a gaming licensee.
And you have made this abundantly clear in other situations over the past couple of years.
And to tell you the truth, Sam, I'm not too worried about it with our large-tier gaming operators. They have told me that they're not necessarily for allowing marijuana in their hotels, not just because it's a federal crime. There is the reputational issue that they're concerned about, and there is also just a practical issue of cleaning out the smoke from their hotel rooms. A large casino operator told me once it's going to cost X amount in expenditures just to clean out the smoke if they were to allow it in their hotel rooms. So I don't think they want that CapEx expense either.
All right. Now, on the humorous side of things, mm-hmm. I think everybody's familiar with the fact that marijuana causes munchies. Do you think you're going to see an increase in buffet business?
I don't know. That's a good question.
You don't even have to answer that. I'm just being silly. As you look at Macau, and mm-hmm. Macau has been a fascinating project to watch over the last couple of decades. Yeah. I was there in the year 2000, way before all this started. In the last 16 years, it's just been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Major openings coming up. But what's been very interesting both in Macau and in Singapore is the idea that the governments don't want it just to be about gaming. They want it to be about family entertainment. They want mm-hmm. it to be a lot more. And in fact, they're restricting the number of gaming tables. Wynn, for example, mm-hmm. in his new casino has been massively restricted from the number of tables he originally wanted.
Yeah.
What do you think about this, and how has Las Vegas, for example, been dealing with a similar issue?
Mm-hmm. Well, Las Vegas is already at that point, but Las Vegas took many years to get there, and it wasn't necessarily at the hand of the government or the regulators causing them to go from a strictly gaming sort of area to, well, let's bring in families, let's bring in the millennials, let's bring younger kids in. So, you know, 10, 15 years ago, Las Vegas became the Disneyland for adults. It was a natural evolution, in my opinion, that led to the higher numbers of nightclubs, restaurants, things you can do, world-class shopping, world-class dining and entertainment. Macau is just getting there, I think, on a hyperdrive sort of basis with the aid of the government. Macau, you're right. I've been there many times. It's a very interesting thing to watch. It is, I've called it this before, evolution of gaming and gaming regulation on hyperdrive. It's an extremely short period that we're seeing everything occur here because they've witnessed the growth on an extremely high curve and they've witnessed the need for regulation and the problems that come with it. They've seen everything from needing to bring in more employees to help build the casino. So you've had labor issues and labor questions to now, which is shortening the list of table games that one can have. The overlay with China, which Macau is an SAR of, is you have the Beijing government, who I think is watching things with a very careful eye. And they've spoken to things in one form or another, sometimes in a very silent fashion, other times in a very outward fashion, to what they expect that market to do in terms of gaming.
All right, let's take a break. More with A.G. Burnett when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We represent the key component of Governor Sandoval's new Nevada, economic diversification through economic development. National competition demands we must maintain this momentum because newly developing industries require creative solutions. The things you do today will affect our tomorrow. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with A.G. Burnett. He's the chairman of the Nevada Gaming Control Board. You were talking about China and mm-hmm. the crackdown on corruption. You know, it was always very interesting to me when, you know, having been to Macau in 2000 and seeing what a seedy, horrible, disgusting place it was then, to what it became now. But the gangs were in charge of things. Mm-hmm. Danny Ho's casino. They ran rooms there for their own gaming, for prostitution. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't wait. We went on a one-day tour. I couldn't wait to get the heck out of that property.
The Lisboa. You went to the bottom area there.
Just awful. Yeah. And it was interesting with the expansion of Macau. It was like, well, what happened to all these gangs? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it appeared for a time that they disappeared, but then they became the junket operators. What is your confidence level now that the Chinese government has a handle on that area of corruption? Because as you said in the previous segment on a different topic, that Nevada gaming licensees are bound by the same rules for Nevada wherever they operate, which includes Macau.
Well, they're bound by the rules of the jurisdiction within which they operate. And if they violate one of those rules and are found to be guilty, if you will, then they can get in trouble with us. Now, various jurisdictions regulate gaming different than others. For example, the UK regulates gaming vastly different than Nevada. Even New Jersey and Nevada have their differences. That said, with Macau, if a licensee got in trouble with the regulators there, the DICJ, we would take a hard look at that, and theoretically that could lead to discipline. What we're seeing in Macau is, I think, the expression of what the Chinese government wants to have happen both economically and in terms of regulatory stability in that area. And it's a small little enclave, but the efforts by Beijing, I think, to get rid of the bad guys seem to me to be succeeding. They've had crackdown after crackdown, and I would submit, and I've even testified to this effect in Washington, D.C., that the presence of our Nevada operators in Macau has been a cleansing thing. It's been a good thing for Macau because they're so regulated. They not only have to have compliance plans and programs that comply with United States standards, Nevada standards, but also DICJ standards in Macau. So they're heavily regulated. That's not to say things aren't perfect, but they're getting close compared to when you were there in 2000. I think they're getting better.
You know, Macau has obviously seen a slowdown because of this crackdown over the last few years. Mm-hmm. And now we're on the other side of that, and things are building up, and it seems to be more, not the high-end gaming, but the larger population, the mass market, that is being appealed to. There are certain things that are going to happen over the next few years. The bridge that will connect Hong Kong, for example, with Macau, opening up more areas of China to be able to visit Macau. Do you anticipate another boom that is beyond what we're heading into now with three major properties?
That's an interesting question, because I think you've seen a decrease in some of maybe the higher roller type players coming in from the Chinese mainland, and what you have in the surrounding areas around Macau itself, or for example Zhuhai. I don't know if you went to Zhuhai and crossed over into that city. As you know, Sam, the population in China and in that area is vast, and if you draw a 3-hour plane trip radius around Macau, I don't know how many millions or hundreds of millions of people you have, but it probably approaches a billion people. So that mainland traffic is always going to be there. And that mainlander who's coming in to play baccarat for the day or 2 days, I think is always going to be there for Macau.
And it's interesting to see the high rollers who, in a lot of cases, were scared because of the crackdown, are now heading off to places like the Philippines.
They are. They're heading off to other places. Philippines, there's some places in Thailand. Vietnam, for example, is looking at opening up to try to bring in some of those people. And then, of course, another wild card in Asia right now is Japan and whether they legalize.
Yeah, Grant Gustafson wrote a great piece for Union Gaming a couple of weeks ago talking about this could be the year that Japan opens up, and that's a huge, huge opportunity for Nevada gaming companies. Can I hold you over for one more segment?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll be right back with A.G. Burnett after this.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Chronic diseases like diabetes,
asthma,
and heart disease
are the number one
cause of death,
disability,
and rising health care costs
in the United States.
Today,
more than 86%.
86% of our health care spending
goes to treating people with chronic diseases.
I'm Ken Thorpe, chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease. As the presidential candidates discuss their plans to address rising health care costs,
ask them how they plan to address the chronic disease problem.
Paid for by the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease.
The real estate market is on fire. If you want top dollar for your home, it's a great time to sell. With Marshall Realty's 90-day guarantee, you'll feel confident in selling your home right now. Call today to find out how you can take advantage of this hot market.
Why are you checking your credit score?
You don't want to live with mom and dad forever, do you?
Boo! Well, I'm not changing.
So how can I check my credit score?
Credit Karma. Don't worry, it's free.
Credit Karma. Give yourself some credit.
We don't just practice law here in Reno.
This is our home.
Careless conduct is a danger to everyone.
When we help people recover from their accidents and injuries,
it sends a message. Slow down around schools. Don't tailgate. Don't text and drive, and don't drink and drive.
This helps to make our community safer.
If you've been injured, give us a call. I'm Bob Jensen.
And I'm Graham Galloway.
For your free consultation, call Galloway and Jensen today. The insurance companies have lawyers. You should, too.
Do you want guaranteed results when selling your home? If you do, then you need an agent that will put his own money on the line. Marshall Realty does exactly that with their 90-day guarantee program. Call 787-7400 today to get your home sold guaranteed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with A.G. Burnett. He is the chairman of the Nevada Gaming Control Board. And I have so much stuff to talk to you about. I hope you will agree right now to come back again, because we'd love to talk more. But you, in the break there, you brought up something interesting, and people are not so aware in the general public of the importance of Japan mm-hmm. as a potential gaming market. Mm-hmm. And you were mentioning to me that already people are coming to visit with you from Japan, including the parliament, to discuss regulation.
Yeah, they are. We've met with people from a couple of the different prefectures in Japan and the Japanese Diet themselves.
And where do you think they've been talking about two locations? Which two do you think are going to end up?
Ooh, that's impossible to say. We've been looking at this for a long time. And I know the locations have switched a little bit. I would imagine something near Tokyo would be the most likely, but I really can't say in terms of that.
Do you have any estimate in your own mind of how much money it would take to build a property there that would handle? I mean, are you looking at $4 billion? Are you looking at higher than that?
I was just going to say $4 billion. If you look at some of the recent projects on the Las Vegas Strip, any big project is going to be north of $3 to $4 billion. If it's an integrated resort or a casino resort, for example, like what they required in Singapore.
And the resort that's going up in the Philippines is a $4 billion resort.
It's a huge resort.
Steve Wolstenholme, yeah. who was, I'm sure you know, was president of Grand Sierra, mm-hmm. is heading up that project now. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a phenomenal project when it opens. All right, let's talk about Caesars.
Okay.
And if you can, and I know this is complicated, but this makes my hair hurt.
The bankruptcy?
Not just the bankruptcy. But all these companies that are having these separate entities that own the property and lease back to the casinos, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. can you give us a simple version of what this all means? Because it's hard to follow.
Well, what Caesars wants to do is what other gaming companies have do. Caesars would like to do this emerging from bankruptcy, but that's switch over to a REIT. Is that what you're
yes.
referring to, a real estate investment trust?
Mm-hmm.
And that's simply where you have one property and you create two companies to run that property, essentially. Gaming, it could be a furniture business, it could be housing, it could be any business, but you have a property co and an operations co. The property co owns the property, and the operations company will run the actual business operations in that. And it makes a lot of sense from a tax basis. That's the long and short of it. The more complex part of it is right now, REITs are becoming something of a little bit of a hot topic on Wall Street, and companies are seeing the ability to take a REIT and go public with it, and then you can derive capital from those public offerings to continue the operations.
All right, but for the investor, which side should one be looking at?
Well, it's whichever side you want to invest in, whether it's the PropCo side or the OpCo side, or both. If you are an investor who sees promise in gaming and gaming revenues for that entity that's operating the gaming, you could. In some cases, you don't have a choice. You may just have the PropCo side that's gone public, for example, and there you've got fixed rent payments. Essentially, you're buying what is stock equity in a property owner. So you have fixed rents, that kind of thing, if you're looking for the stability.
As far as the bankruptcy goes, mm-hmm. Here you have a company that has a higher debt than the city of Detroit, as our good friend Howard Stutz mm-hmm. liked to point out.
Yeah.
They're trying to shed about $10 billion of that debt
right.
In this bankruptcy. Are you comfortable with the court's proceedings at this point in time?
I am. We're very comfortable. We monitor the court's proceedings every day. I get an email once a week, which is an update on what's going on in the bankruptcy. And from a regulatory standpoint, once a licensee files bankruptcy, especially Chapter 11, of course, you're an ongoing concern. We treat you as an ongoing business, so things are really no different. We'll monitor the bankruptcy for us, because if a company is going to emerge from bankruptcy with new owners, a new ownership structure, then, of course, that's going to require license applications and the regulators to make approvals on those new corporate structures.
Here?
I think most of the corporate structures, most of the changes from a corporate standpoint with Caesars, we have already seen. We've already, as regulators, both the Gaming Control Board and Commission have approved in numerous hearings various corporate transactions that both the lenders and the creditors have had full visibility into. So I don't see a huge change unless, of course, there is a REIT transaction at the end, in which case we'll be involved prior to that. And we usually try to time it, Sam, so that our approvals go right in line from a regulatory standpoint with the bankruptcy court's approvals.
All right, but I guess the big question is, I mean, do you still expect the management of Caesars to still be operating Caesars? Do you expect TPG and Apollo Management to still be the two main owners of that company when it comes out of bankruptcy?
Well, it looks like that's going to be the case. And they've been fine licensees so far. In terms of the CEO, they just hired Mark Frisora, who probably about a year ago came in for his suitability approval. He came from Hertz. He was the previous CEO.
Which was interesting.
And we have seen that before. It is interesting to see where there's a new CEO and they bring in someone from an entirely different industry. Cy Games, just last week, Gavin Isaacs left that firm as CEO, and they're bringing someone in who's not from gaming. So it's always a bit of a learning curve. It's a bit of an education, and it takes a lot of dialogue. But so far with Mr. Frisora, I think things are going well.
And when do you anticipate the bankruptcy being over?
That's a good question. Not being a bankruptcy lawyer, I'm going to anticipate probably within a year. I know that's sort of hedging my bets. Some people expected it would be done by now.
Yes.
You know, so I think these things take a long time.
Listen, I want to thank you so much for being here.
And you got
I said
it.
Earlier,
you got
please
it.
Please come back. So much more to talk about, but a real pleasure
it's
to have
good
you
seeing
on the program.
You.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Feel like you're stuck in a bureaucratic system? Time to talk to the right people. David Allen and Associates. I'm David Allen.
Friends find a way to brighten your day. In good times and bad, lift you up when you're sad. Friends will always find a way.
Sometimes in your financial life, you need a friend too. With our variety of loan services, we'll have one to fit your needs. We're here for you.
Friends will always find a way.
Check City, here to help when you need cash.
The money sure has piled up for Joe Heck. Heck voted with the billionaire Koch brother-backed agenda nearly 80% of the time. Heck voted to protect billions in tax breaks for big oil, but would risk good solar energy jobs here at home. And Heck proposed a plan that could risk Social Security benefits in the stock market, but could make Wall Street billions. Congressman Heck's supporters pile on the cash. We pay the price. And Citizens United is responsible for the content of this advertising.
You wouldn't go to Whispering Vine to whine.
I've had such a bad day.
So why on earth would you take gold, silver, or rare coins to anyone other than the professionals at Northern Nevada Coin? With stores in Reno, Carson City, and Minden, they pay the most for your unwanted gold jewelry, gold or silver bullion, or collection of rare coins. For the best in wine, go to Whispering Vine. And for all your rare coin and gold needs, go to Northern Nevada Coin.
Wow, that's great.
Now that's the kind of wine we like.
Social Security benefits applications now take an average of 365 days. Most will be denied at least once.
Tired of waiting? Time to talk to the right people. David Allen and Associates, successfully helping disabled people for over 30 years. I'm David Allen.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge from iTunes. We'll see you on the next podcast.